Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. CYMBIOTIKA.com.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing. Free ball. Perfect. Garland in front of the lane. Locked. The Mobley. Pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chasedown is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. The Cleveland Cavaliers, all things considered, had a pretty successful weekend. They went 1-1 with a win over the Sixers, a blowout loss to the Denver Nuggets, and with those results, they moved back into third place in the Eastern Conference, but the seedings race could not be tighter. Joining me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I had a surprising company holiday today. I didn't know we were getting the Monday after Easter off. So made the most of it. My parents came over, took the baby, had a little Daddy and Millie day. Went to COSI, which is our little children's museum in Columbus. That's lovely. And then we closed the night out watching the Elite Eight game between Iowa and LSU. And super fun. Millie's
amazing half of basketball.
Yeah, amazing half of basketball. Millie's killer comedy bit was to call her Angel Reese Cup. She thought that was the height of comedy, but she was also very impressed, especially when she got that steal in transition layup. So super fun just to watch women's basketball with my daughter, I gotta say. Puts me in a really, really good mood. You know, she's still too little to really know what's going on, but like, you know, having her go, that's Caitlin Clark, right? And me getting to confirm it is like really, really cool. It's really cool the state of the game women's basketball is in. I would kill to get Columbus or Cleveland to WNBA team, my friend.
That would be really, really cool. As I said, awesome half of basketball. It was cool to check that out. It's been, even though I work today, I kind of had this afternoon of basketball because I rewatched the Nuggets game. Prior to the LSU Iowa game, and I gotta tell you, Carter, a lot of the times, like one of the main reasons I do a rewatch is I'm not as gifted as friends of the podcast like Steve Jones or you know, the people that can do those breakdowns live. I need to go back, I need to rewatch, I need to find out what happened. I get too emotional watching the games live, and I can't remember a bigger gap in how I felt emotionally about a game versus the rewatch than I have with this Denver one. Because I rewatched.
Interesting.
I was miserable after the second half of that Nuggets loss. And rewatching it, I think like my perception of how the Cavs competed in the first half was dramatically different than reality. Because when I went back and watched it, I'm like, man, you know, the defense is locked in. The Cavs are attacking the paint. Darius, I was incredibly frustrated overall with kind of the lack of production. And rewatching it, I noticed that a lot of that came in the second half. I thought actually in the first half, even though they were running him off the three-point line, he was taking some pull-up mid-range jumpers, which I wanted to see. He was attacking the basket, got guys involved. Didn't love the turnovers, but I thought it was a better half. And, you know, I almost forgot that the Cavs were actually leading by 4 points with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And
yeah,
you know,
my dumb ass was like, they're really making it ugly for Denver in this one.
Yeah,
right, like around there.
It felt good. And then Jokic checked back in. And then from that point on, I would say Denver just kind of thoroughly outclassed them. And
I would say they were playing some murder ball. They were. Yeah. It was ugly.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, credit goes to Jokic. We've been on this kind of the opposite end of those type of games in the past, back when LeBron was on the team. But that was a clinic. That was a Denver team that has been, you know, coming off back-to-back home losses for the first time all season. They're in a big-time standings race. And Jokic came out, and he was just dominant. And I thought, you know, once the wheels started to come off, everything broke apart, right? Like, I thought the Cavs were overreacting to what Jokic was doing offensively. I thought, you know, the defensive continuity was breaking down, and just everything snowballed from there. But I thought the Cavs actually came out with the right effort, with the right game plan for this game, and then just got beat by a better team.
Well, you got to know a couple things. Thing one, Denver had a couple bad losses in a row. I think they were coming off their first consecutive home losses all year.
Mm-hmm.
So they, I had a feeling they were going to come out with something to prove. And you know, we're going to come out focused. They weren't going to, you know, sleepwalk through this one. Also, given the fact that the Cavs embarrassed them on the Cavs home floor, at the beginning of the year, where, you know, Jokic gets tossed and, or fouls out, I think, like in the third quarter, or, you know, and it's just a total beating from pretty much start to finish in that game. They, you know, Jokic plays probably his worst game of the season. In that one. So, you know, he had something to prove. That is a factor. The fact that they shot the absolute cover off the ball is a factor. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets finished the game 8 of 15 from 3, and that significantly lowered their three-point percentage on the evening as they started 13 of 18. From three. You know, like,
and the funny thing is they shot worse as the defense got worse, right? Like there was you know,
yeah,
the Reggie Jackson contested shot, like there was a bunch of kind of contested shots in the first
couple
half.
MPJ drifters,
yeah,
including the one he hit that he got called for an offensive foul on the kick on. I was like, oh my god, this is not gonna be our night if he's hitting that one, even if we got the points back.
And then we're throwing, you know, doubles at Jokic, and just like the defensive continuity kind of completely broke down at that point. And then they're not hitting as many shots. So, you know, it was kind of one of those nights. I saw, you know, a friend of the podcast, Matt Moore, also mentioned that, you know, this is kind of the thing I've seen before where teams just look gassed with the altitude in the second half, particularly if they're, you know, playing through some stuff and whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, no matter how much context, no matter how much you want to slap on it, we are in a big-time standings race when it comes to this Eastern Conference. The Knicks are a half game back. They have the tiebreaker. Orlando likely will be a game and a half back after tonight. I'm assuming they're going to beat the Portland Trail Blazers.
They're up 12 with 4 minutes left in the third.
That would be what you would expect. Portland is shorthanded and not great when they are fully rostered. So
can I do a brief aside that's not going to help the pot at all about the Blazers?
Sure. Yeah.
Haverstro does stats for them on their broadcast. He tweeted something about how the Blazers have had, like, you know, 9 games. I'm BSing the number. They've had 9 games where 4 rookies scored in double digits. No other team has won. And I'm like, well, that's because most teams aren't rostering 4 rookies, brother.
Yeah.
that made me laugh out loud when I saw that stat. I was like, you know, he's just doing his job, but it made me laugh.
I mean, we were certainly there in some of those.
Oh, we sure were.
Where you're just looking for any morsel.
Anything fun.
Any little fun, little factoid or whatnot. But, you know, after the game, obviously, Donovan Mitchell had comments about how, you know, this is April. We need to take this serious. All these games matter. He talked about how, you know, people from the outside may point to the injuries and stuff like that. We can't do that. We are who we are, and we need to kind of turn this thing around. And, you know, I personally loved it. One of the things I think we have learned through Donovan's time in Cleveland is that man, accountability is his middle name. Like, he's not afraid to you know, talk about where he's come up short, where the team's come up short and whatnot. And I wasn't surprised to see, you know, first on the list was himself saying, I got to play better and whatnot. And, you know, watching these last two games, I think it's clear that he's not at 100%, that he is still playing through something. The burst isn't necessarily there. But I got to say, even doing the rewatch of the Denver game, I'm feeling just a tad bit more optimistic about that, because I thought he got more tired as the game went on. And that's understandable, given the time off and whatnot. Like, I thought the kind of burst got progressively worse. There were times he actually did get to the basket. And you know, even though he is in a limited state, and let's be honest, like, at this point, there's no real sign that he's going to be at 100% at any point for the remainder of the season. I think, you know, if he can get back to being a little more confident, feel a little more comfortable, getting back in shape, I still think that he can make a significant impact on this team.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. You know, again, it's kind of, I won't lie, part of me feels like we're kind of grading on the, on kind of the curve we've been grading Garland on, you know, where it's like, hey, he got to the basket a few times. Like, that's Donovan Mitchell gets to the basket a lot, you know, like, and so, you know, you're, well, just kind of,
there's
looking
an obvious
for,
parallel there, man. Yeah, like, I think, like, both of them, it seems like they don't want to get hit in the face right now, whether it's,
yeah,
broken
also,
nose
it's
or
hilarious
jaw.
That we're both wearing black shirts while we're talking about this.
I was going to make a comment on that earlier. We really didn't. We didn't coordinate the uniform
vibe
today.
But no, you know, I thought, you know, I thought his game was certainly, you know, I thought he made some really nice passes in this game. And, you know, I do think that's where, you know, if you're not going to be at 100% going into the postseason, like, that's where you're glad that he has developed so much as a playmaker over these last 2 years, where it's like he can still make that, you know, that crazy pass to Strus under the basket at the beginning of the game. And again, I really do think, I think part of the reason I wasn't as grumpy as perhaps other compatriots on Twitter were about this particular game was, like, I did think they played a really good first half against a really, really tough team who was playing well in kind. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it was like a Denver's just messing up, but once they focus up, this is over. Like, I think they played, I think they were playing great the whole way through. The Cavs just, you know, were out executing them and scheming up correctly, and, you know, Jokic just went superhero mode, and the Cavs were not resilient, must be said. But, you know, most teams get, well, you know, when they're down 9 going into the third quarter and a team goes on a quick 10-0 run where they're just hitting really tough shots, and you're generating, and the Cavs generated a couple clean looks at the beginning of that quarter, and
yeah,
they weren't falling. And, you know, on a night where you only hit 8 threes, that, you know, you feel that in a 29-point loss. And they certainly let go of the rope. There's no way, I think the Cavs would tell you that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think, like, Donovan being as frustrated as he was after that game kind of does speak to the fact that, like, we can contextualize all we want. We can bring all the information. We can talk about, you know, the stuff we did right at the beginning. You know, Denver had lost 2 in a row at home, blah, 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 blah. It still sucks to lose by 29. It sucks to be well under 500 post All-Star break when you were, you know, it stinks to be a team that was on pace to win 56 games with their record at the end of the going into the All-Star break. And it being relatively unlikely that they'll get past 50 if they get to 50 at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all stinks. I don't want to, like, I'm trying not to, like, you know, scold or push back against feeling frustrated, because, like, I certainly feel frustrated, and I think Donovan feels frustrated. Like, and, like, I don't see how he couldn't, especially, like, if you're in that locker room, like, the hits have just kept coming and he's not at 100%. The team is not playing their best ball at all. And, like, how could you not just feel a little beat up at this point? And, you know,
well, I'm sure him not being at 100% is a big part of the frustration too, right? Like losing your physical abilities, and especially at such an important time of the year, not being at 100% and trying to work your way back. Like, it's the most frustrating time to be doing that. I mean, I know how I feel in terms of losing my ability to like function as a normal human, you know, physically. And Donovan, I don't have the pressure of a playoff push. I don't have the pressure of, you know, a franchise season riding on my shoulders as it does with him. And like the unfortunate thing, like, I'm not trying to tell anyone that this doesn't suck. I think you were correct to kind of point that out, because, you know, it's disappointing. Like, it's changed. Looking at how they look right now, it's changed my expectations for the playoffs. Like, I still think the goal should be winning around, and I think that they're capable of doing that. But the team they've been right now isn't the team that's going to win around, right? I think there's enough reasons to believe, hey, this can turn around over the next 3 weeks prior to the playoffs starting. But, like, it does get, you know, a little hairy. It gets concerning. And I think, you know, Donovan, when he speaks like that, it's to fire everyone else up, right? Like, it's to understand the importance of this moment. Because
just a vent, you know? It's natural to vent a little bit. Like, we've had plenty of vent sessions off to the side over the course of this year where things just are not bouncing the team's way, despite, you know, having a team, again, that I do think is better built than it was last year. It's better constructed than last year. And yet, this is why, you know, you can't just hit sim season like you can in 2K and just let the simulation run. Like, you have to play the games. Players get hurt. Players just play below their skill level, whether they're hurt or not. You know, players have things going on in their personal lives. You know, who all this, you know, kind of just adds up and to a final product. And sometimes guys exceed their expectations. Sometimes they go way below it. And, you know, there's just been some of that, like, they feel like a little less than the sum of their parts right now.
They are like, that's the biggest thing. And it sucks because individually, I don't think there's a lot of guys kind of playing up to the standard you'd expect. I think right now, Evan Mobley is the only one that I would point to saying, hey, he's playing great. Like, I think he's been really, really good since he's been back. Jarrett, you can definitely tell that he's worn down and he's tired. The defense just isn't at the same high level. Like, he's still obviously a net positive there, but it's not the same level. And you can tell, like, even Donovan coming back playing with Jarrett again, like, there's times where he's throwing a pass expecting, hey, this is January Jarrett, he's going to go up and get that. And he's like, I don't have that, right? Like, he's coming down with the ball.
Was it against Philly where they did that crazy high-low pass and he just biffed the what should have been a dunk?
Yeah, I think
that's the underside of the rim, you know? It's just like,
things just have the same pop.
And aren't quite clicking.
And for Donovan's case, I think, like, the stat that captures it, I heard on Chris Fedor's pod, so shout out to him. Go check that out. But he talked about, since the All-Star break, Donovan is 4 of 12 from inside the three-point arc. Only 12 shots. And 6 of those 12 shots have been blocked. Like, that usually doesn't happen. He typically generates so much separation. He typically generates so much more rim pressure. And, you know, like, if the version of him that we currently have is one that's going to float around on the perimeter a little bit more, you'd hope that Darius would be at a point where he's attacking the basket like he does when he's fully healthy, and you don't have that.
Our boys are getting their shots packed at the rim right now. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, and you know, it's frustrating. It's disappointing. I think, you know, from Darius's standpoint, what I'd really like to see is just, you know, him coming off those dribble handoffs, or, you know, coming off the nail and just pulling up and taking that mid-ranger. Like, just like we talk about how Evan has to take some of those open shots to open up other opportunities, I think right now teams are expecting Darius to either drive it to the rim or throw that dump off pass. And, like, a lot of the times the read to Allen on the roll is kind of the right read, but defense is ready for it. They're kind of like ready to help out at the rim and force it into a floater, and they'll kind of live with that as an option. I'd like to see more of those mid-range pull-ups from him, especially when teams are running him off the line like Denver did. And, you know, take those shots to open up the rim, to open up other opportunities, and just change up and show some variety in terms of what you're doing offensively.
Here's a take that I'm kind of settling into as you're saying that. I just wonder if this is going to be kind of roughly what the guards are, what Darius and Donovan are going to be heading into the postseason. Part of me just wonders if they need to say, screw it, we're going to take a lot more threes. And we're not going to be guys who live at the rim. So, and we don't have our normal burst at the rim. So we need to chuck a little bit more with our pull-up game, with our catch-and-shoot game, to try to lure the defense into overreacting mm-hmm. out of the paint. You know, I always think about, you know, I always remember in those old, you know, the Warriors-Cavs wars where stat nerds would try to argue that Steph Curry was a better finisher than Kyrie because his rim percentage was higher.
Yeah.
Which obviously was infuriating because, like, most of Steph's layups were wide open because they were a result of guys flying at him.
Or backdoor cuts
or whatever it may be. Like, if you're not, if finishing mid to high tier degree of difficulty layups is going to be harder for these guys to do, part of me wonders if they just need to lean into a higher variance offense that, you know, with a little bit more of a quick trigger on the jumper, whether from three or from mid range, mm-hmm. so you can, and if you're not hitting those, well, you know, it's probably good night no matter what. But if you are hitting them, then you do see a more open lane with more consistent avenues to easy layups. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think, you know, more threes is definitely something that I want to see. I do think, you know, smarter teams like Denver are going to be able to run them off the line a little bit. And I think there was a fair bit of that. Like, it wasn't just Darius that wasn't able to get up threes. It was, you know, Max couldn't get threes going. Donovan, obviously, you know, heavy grains of salt added to anything we saw there because he's working his way back from injury. But I do think, you know, if your thesis is I want more jumpers in general, I want to see kind of those mid-range pull-ups and whatnot, I'm on board. Like, I want to see, you know, as much as I hate to give him credit, I want to see a little more Jalen Brunson out of Darius where, you know, he's pulling up from mid-range because he understands, hey, if the defense isn't in rotation, it's going to be harder for me to finish at the rim, right? So, and that's especially true with this version that we've seen here. So if that's what gets things going and, you know, from there it opens up other opportunities, whether it be, you know, the high-low passing, finding Allen or Mobley in the dunker spot, the big actions they have and whatnot, I think that would be very helpful.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just trying to think about what strategies, you know, are going to bear fruit, you know, in the end. And like, yeah, you right now the team is not built to be a high rim pressure team.
Yeah.
Outside of the two bigs. I think that puts an impetus on Jared and Evan to pick up a ton of pain points, which luckily I think they're capable of doing. I think it puts an impetus on them to play with force. I think it puts an impetus on them to be great screeners off the ball and great sealers when those guys do get past their man. You know, that's one thing I don't think the Cavs do particularly well compared to some of these other teams with some burlier bigs, just the kind of the Gortat screen where yeah. you're just kind of screening your own help defender to give Darius Darius or Donovan a clearer path or cleaner angle. That's something we don't do a great job at because that's kind of, it's kind of like boxing out your own man a lot of the time. And, yeah. you know, we're just not, that's not our big hyper strength. But like, I just go back to thinking like, okay, if we're not going to be a great rim pressure team at base right now because of, you know, whether it's health concerns or just current, you know, standard of play concerns, then you just got to find other creative angles because they're running out of time just to wait for that stuff to get better. Yeah. So, like, that's the kind of thing that I want to see. I want to see them get really creative with their off-ball actions, getting into their offense faster so they can generate those looks without having just to drive to the hoop because that's hard for them to do right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I want to get into the pace a little bit later because that's been one thing that's really dropped off since the All-Star break. And I think a lot of that has come down to fourth quarters for the Cavs. I think prior to the Denver game, their pace in the fourth quarter was actually 84, which is just insanely low since the All-Star break. Like, that's just unacceptably low.
Walk it up.
The one thing I'll mention too when it comes to Denver is, yeah, the defensive integrity did break down, and I thought they got into kind of scramble mode. Honestly, it was a little reminiscent of overreacting to Jalen Brunson in the playoffs. But also, you're going to have some defensive breakdowns when your two best perimeter defenders are not active in the lineup. And obviously, Isaac Okoro was not in that game. Dean Wade was not active in that game. And, you know, it just puts you in a spot where you're relying on the two guards who are working their way back. You're relying on Max Strus to do a lot against a tall Michael Porter Jr. And, you know, obviously Sam Merrill or Marcus Morris, they're going to do their part and they're going to stay in position. But that's a tall, tall ass. You're not going to get game-changing defensive plays out of those guys like you would out of an Isaac Okoro or a Dean Wade.
For sure. And another thing I wanted to note that we haven't really discussed with Donovan looking a little limited from an explosion standpoint is it really hurts him on the defensive end.
Yes.
Those on-fire closeouts where he can stay low at full speed and chop his feet and not get blown by, that's a lot harder for him to do when you're trying to rev up to full speed. And all of a sudden, that does make the small backcourt defensive kind of woes look a little bit scarier, especially since Darius, I think, is having his worst defensive season in the last couple years. So I just think that combination all of a sudden looks a little bit rougher. And, you know, you really notice when an Isaac and a Dean aren't there to be that pace changer, to provide, you know, when one of, to stagger it. So when one of them's sitting, you have an elite defensive option on the floor most of the time, you know. So I think that's another little note. You know, obviously, Chris Vito reported that Dean is still, you know, he might now even be back before the playoffs if he's ready for the playoffs at all. And, like, you know,
Marcus Morris just became a whole lot more important.
Sure did. You know, really glad they signed him for the season. You know, again, this is just one of those things with this season where, you know, Ty Jerome gets an ankle sprain, normally a month or so injury, and he's gone for the whole year.
Yeah.
Dean Wade goes on personal leave for a couple days, comes back, and may not be seen again. You know, it's just one of those seasons where the hits just kind of have kept coming, both at the star level and at the role player level.
That's the thing.
That's tough.
If you're assuming, like, you know, Darius and Donovan miss time, right? Like, in general, you can probably expect them to miss 10, 15 games a year. This year has obviously been worse for both of them with freak issues that came up. But, like, if you go in knowing that, and, okay, Jared might get tired or is going to need some time off, you would say, okay, we want to invest heavily in, you know, backup guard positions. You have Ricky Rubio and you have Ty Jerome. Neither of those options become available. Okay, well, we've got Dean Wade. We've got George Niang. We're investing in the backup four spot. We have Tristan Thompson coming in as an option off the bench, and he gets suspended, right? Like, every single, like, the type of insulating moves you would do from a support standpoint were all put in place. And just once again, you kind of have, like, those multi-level breakdowns. And, you know,
yeah, and for what it's worth, like, I do think it's important to say, like, if this team doesn't do what they hope to do in the postseason because Dean Wade wasn't healthy, that's not good. You know, like, no. you can't, like, Dean Wade was, like, we weren't sure he was going to be a rotation player to start the year. Now, he certainly has earned it. When he's been on the floor, I think it's been by far the best year of his career. But, like, you know, you can't be a Dean Wade away from being able to succeed or fail in your season. That means your margins were probably too thin. But it doesn't help, bro. Like, no. You know, well, like, that, and by the way,
that's what hurts with all this is, like, you look at it. Max has had, you know, the best season of his career. Dean's had the best season of his career. Isaac's had the best season of his career. Jared's had the best season of his career. And, like, these guys are because all those guys in particular carried such a heavy load when Mobley and Garland were out. I think you're seeing, like, the fatigue effect, right? Like, Max had to be shut down. Dean, you know, it had not like a freak injury, but
I forget where I saw it, but there is something to our role players going super duper Nova and then needing to miss a month because Strus right. had his miracle Dallas performance, then all of a sudden he's gone for a month. Dean had his miracle Boston performance, he's gone for a month. So, like, I guess the role players just got to stop doing so well. We need the second someone hits three threes in a row, we got to send them to the bench.
Well, you know, not everybody disappears after doing a very good job. Zoom has been there all the time for us, Carter. It's consistently delivering and consistently showing up. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, C-Y-M-B-I-O-T-I-K-A.com.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Carter, the Cavs connected well against the Philadelphia 76ers in the clutch. I actually thought it was a throwback, one of their better kind of clutch performances. It was nice to see Darius kind of be the engine of that. Outside of a tremendous Tyrese Maxey defensive play to force a turnover, I thought those closing minutes from him were very strong in terms of getting other guys involved, had the bucket himself, and just keeping the ball moving and playing with tempo. And of course, the highlight of all of it was Evan Mobley backpedaling into a confident, what basically ended up being the game-winning three. How much fun was that, man? Like, we got to talk about that game, because in a stretch where not a lot has gone well, that was things that we wanted to see all happening in a really important moment in a game that they absolutely had to go get.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I won't lie. I think I said out loud, "What?
As
he stepped back into it, but it was so confident. JB, I think, said after the game that that is what they drew up.
I think he was being a little sarcastic there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you watch the video,
I only saw the tweet. Either way, Mobley, I think, played a really, really strong game. It was really fun, you know. And I watched that game, kind of watching Darius and Evan, the two guys who've taken more crap from the fans than anyone this year, being the engines to win us the game down the stretch. I don't believe Jarrett played much in the fourth quarter. Did he play at all?
No, because George was playing so fantastic that never really went back to the two big.
Yeah, George, you know, my goodness, was George good in this game? I thought it was best game. I thought it might have been a better actual offensive game than his supernova game, where he just couldn't miss.
He's been great since the break, honestly. Like,
he's been very good.
I'm all in on the G-Wagon train right now. Like, he has been one of our more dependable role guys.
Yeah. But to that fourth quarter, like, every possession down the stretch was running through Darius and Evan. And for the most part, it was pretty successful. They were hitting on lobs. They were getting deep seals into finishes. Bamba got Mobley once, but, you know, Mobley got Bamba more than he got.
Yeah.
hit the two threes, got to the line. Darius, I thought, was running a really nice offense. It was very nice to see them closing, running offense, running some pick and roll, not just ISOing. And, Donovan clearly, again, really trying just, labor through it. Donovan was not actively putting himself into the play in that fourth quarter. I think it was a little bit of a, listen, guys, I'm out here. I'll shoot it if I'm open, but like you gotta go take this for me. While I'm trying to ramp myself up. And I thought Darius and Evan, met the moment there. Part of why Darius's performance in the Denver game is so disappointing, because again, he hasn't been able to chain success. Much like the Cavs, Darius has not been able to chain successes, but. Against Philly, I thought he really helped win them the game. And I will say this, right after I maligned his defense this season, I thought he played the best defense he's played all season against Tyrese Maxey, who went 7 of 26.
And I saw in a clip with our buddy Spencer Davies was talking to Darius after the game, and he said, last two games in particular have been probably one of my worst defensive games. Like, I was really slacking on that end, and I wanted to make an impact. I just thought his defense was solid enough against Denver. I thought
it was the everything else part that just didn't end up working out.
So, if the defense is trending in the right direction, that's good, because honestly, like, that's probably the answer when it comes to the Cavs, is they're just going to have to, elevate themselves on the defensive end of the floor and win some ugly, muddy games, right? Like, that's probably what it's going to have to be, because I don't think we're getting our kind of two core cogs in the offense back to 100% health in time for the playoffs. Like, I'm skeptical of that until I see it. But the Cavs have more than enough to get it done on the defensive end. But, if the offense is going to be dealing with guys that are limited and, they're not able to get to the rim like they used to, maintaining a proper pace, I think, is one of the most important things. And one of the things that I found, doing research prior to the Philly game even, was just how slow the pace was in the fourth quarter. And the pace since the All-Star break in the clutch has been 86.3. And that's including the Philly game. The Philly game, they got up to 100.13. Much, much better, dramatically better. That's nice middle of the pack. And, it's funny because pre-break, they were actually at 101.75, which is middle of the pack, right smack dab in the middle.
I need them to be. I don't need them to be one. I just need them to not be playing at a snail's pace.
Right. So as a point of reference to league-leading pace in clutch situations is 106. So, you're not too far off when it comes to total pace, but that's what we've seen a lot of, right? Like, they would get into their sets 16 seconds. It's 18 seconds on the shot clock, and we're able to get to a second and third action. And since the All-Star break, that just hasn't been the case. And, it's been something we've seen with Darius, and maybe this is one of those examples of when things aren't right, falling back into bad habits. Because when you look at the pace in the clutch with Darius on the court prior to the All-Star break, it was 107.26. That would be the quickest in the league by a very wide margin. Since the All-Star break, 84.58. Like, massive gap. Massive, massive gap. Same thing goes with Donovan. Pre-break, 101.62. And then obviously, the few games he's played post-All-Star break, it would be the same at 90.77, but like, Darius was playing in those clutch situations quicker than Donovan was in those solo point guard minutes even, right? Like, and playing in more of those situations. That's what the Cavs need to do, because if you're dealing with some limitations on the offensive end of the court, you cannot be letting the defense off the hook where they only have to defend one or two actions without a whole lot of movement. You got to keep grinding and getting to those second and third defensive rotations, where if you don't get a defensive breakdown and like they don't give up an open shot, at the very least, you might get them out of rebounding position. You might be able to generate those second chance opportunities because the defense is in scramble mode.
And might I say, you don't need to be healthy to get into your offense early.
No, you do not.
You don't need to be playing well to get into your offense early. And like, this is, I think, the root of why, you know, this was a big root of my frustration after that Hornets loss when we were, you know, I think pretty tough on the team, was that, like, listen, like, I get it. If you're not shooting the ball well, if you're not explosive as you're used to being, and that is frustrating and that is hard, I really don't think I'm going to often hold that against anyone, mm-hmm. you know? But when you aren't doing the stuff that you need to do to up your percentage chance of success, that is just good, smart basketball, like, that is when I think we're likely to be critical and likely to get frustrated. Yeah. So, like, an 85 pace to close games post-All-Star break, no matter how well, what form you're in, you are cutting yourself off at the knees. And when you're not in good form and you're doing that, you don't have a chance. And yeah. and that's very disappointing.
Yeah, and I think the main intention of bringing this kind of stuff up is saying, hey, like, even though you're dealing with some limitations, these are things you can do and you have done.
And they're listening.
You've done.
They're listening to us.
They are, right? Like, well, you know, the other side of it is, for fans that are feeling down, hey, we're not going to be at 100% health going into the playoffs, it's, here's things that they have done at times that are yielding good results even in this state. This is stuff they can lean on to go get those results. Because, you know, I still firmly believe that this team can win a round in the playoffs. It's probably going to be ugly. It's not going to feel as good as it did. I think the ceiling of this season is lower because of everything that we've dealt with. I don't feel great about, you know, our ability to really push a team and challenge in the second round of the playoffs. But, you know, if they can gut through this, if they can, you know, lean into better habits on both ends of the court to make up for the fact that they're missing some talent, just like they did earlier in the season when they were physically missing guys, you can do the same thing when you are missing aspects of your game and just kind of really lean on what's the most efficient path for us on both ends of the court.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And that is what I really, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking to see. Like, you know, we often have kind of been ending these podcasts talking about, like, what are we looking for, you know, in the upcoming stretch? What are we looking for before the end of the season to make us feel good? I'm not going to get, knock on wood, but I'm probably not going to get, Donovan looks like he's 100% all of a sudden, or Darius has put up 5 straight 30 and 10 games. Like, that just feels kind of far away right now. What I want to see them do is control what they can control. I want to see them lock teams the hell down on defense the way I know they're capable of. I want to see them run offense, early offense. I want them to compensate for the weaknesses they have in their game right now by leaning on other strengths. You know, high Evan, who, when the team's done well, kind of feels like he's a really important part of their offense over the last couple weeks. You know, and not leaning into these bad habits and, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face when you're already running, you know, at a deficit and not in perfect form. That's what I want to see. I want to just see them get back to playing Cavs basketball, even if the results are 30% worse than what I'm used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I can handle that. I just can't handle, you know, the demoralizers.
Yep. No, I totally agree. And, you know, when it comes to Evan too, like, this is one of the benefits of the way that the Cavs are built. Like, they are, you know, you look at the last couple of years and they've been a top heavy team. I think this year they've done a good job making up for that with some depth. But the nice thing about having, you know, a core four is when two of the guys are struggling to pull their normal weight, you have the ability to have other guys step up and, you know, really kind of be the champion of that time. And for me, like, this is an opportunity for Evan Mobley to continue to step up. Like, the way that he's playing, the fact that he's hit 6 of 10 threes since he came back. I don't know if I shared my golf analogy before, but, you know, I talked about how Mobley, after some time off, it's just, he's not thinking about it. He's just swinging free and easy like I do after a winter of no golf. But, you know, like, he's just stroking that shot out there and it looks great. I love the way that he's attacking and putting his body into guys.
You know, there were some grown man moves against Denver in a really efficient offensive game. So if Mobley is being featured a little bit more, and that's giving Jared a bit of a break and allowing, you know, Darius and Donovan to be more of jump shooters than their more normal kind of well-rounded attack, maybe that's something that, you know, we just have to ride right now, and that can help everybody else kind of rediscover a rhythm and buy them some time to get right. Because, you know, from Donovan's standpoint, like, some of it's, hey, the knee, he's playing through whatever soreness he still has with that knee and whatnot. The other half is regaining confidence, taking contact, whether that be, you know, the knee itself or the face. Some of that is learning to trust that leg again and explode off it the same way. Like, he might have that burst there, but he's just not confident to load up in the same way that he has in the past, because there's those mental hurdles that you have to overcome. Look at how Darius has been battling that kind of stuff, right? Like, this is something that may take time and may not be as bad as it looks, just because he's trying to overcome those aspects of whether you want to call it confidence or just, you know, regaining the trust in his body.
Yeah. You know, in general, I just think there's a lot of that, a lot of beat up. Maybe they just need that reset. You know, the one thing you kind of hope, you know, there's no guarantee, but you hope that the huge gap between the last game of the season and the start of the playoffs, 6 days, it's like a little baby all-star break, you know? Yeah. It's not an all-star break, but it's close, you know, especially if by some miracle their seeding situation is resolved going into that, you know, that last game of the season, where maybe you can even, you know, play the bench guys that last game, just give everyone some time to reset their body, reset their brain. Yeah. Heading into the postseason.
To get this, just to make sure I'm understanding your point, you are trying to comfort me by saying it's like an all-star break after everything we have seen since the yeah, all-star
fair,
break.
Fair. It's not like that at all. And actually, it's not like that at all anyway, because they're going to have to practice a bunch.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
But, you know, like, I just think, like, not having to play game action, getting to have a couple days of just film review, or guys getting just to sit and watch and let their bodies heal a little bit, like, any little edge they can get right now, I feel like is going to be important. And, you know, to me, man, it just feels like the rest of this regular season is survival time. You know, luckily, New York has had a pretty hellish schedule.
Yeah.
You know, and the Cavs have been kind of swapping third and fourth with them, you know, but, you know, their two game losing streak there, feels a lot better than our one game losing streak, you know, going to war with the Thunder last night. while we're getting blown out by 29. So like it just feels like a survival thing. I don't know if the Cavs are going to be able to hold on to three. You know, if you were to ask me to make a call right now and bet my life on it, I'd probably say we land in the fourth spot and have a date with the Orlando Magic.
That's my sense too. And when you talk about, you know, shifting expectation for the playoffs, Boston, I saw this. The gap in terms of point differential for the Boston Celtics in second in net rating is larger than the 2017 Warriors and the next best team, which I believe was the Cavs.
Wow.
Like, that is probably your number one favorite to go out and win the championship. And maybe it's Denver, as defending champ.
I will be picking Denver.
Okay. I think if Boston doesn't win, that's pretty rough given how good they are. But, you know,
I don't believe in that. I really don't. I don't, unless you have a generational talent leading your team.
But they're telling us they do.
I don't care what they're telling us. I care what my eyes see. And what my eyes see is a tier two and a half, tier two player in Tatum, who's awesome, but he's not a top five guy, in my opinion. He's close, but he's not that. And I just think I've been a LeBron James fan for too long, and a supporter of that guy's legacy for too long to say that it's title or bust. I think if you're top two in the league, you had a great year. And I just
slander Boston too. So I'm putting myself in position. While we're here, let's do a little bit of a show that we don't normally do. Who is closer to that superstar tier in your mind? Just looking back historically, Jason Tatum or Indiana Paul George? Of that upper echelon kind of historic talent.
I think it's Tatum. Tatum's been to so many conference finals already. You know, he's played on some good teams, but he's played on some pretty mediocre teams too that have gotten there, you know?
He was drafted to a team that was in the conference finals the year before.
Yeah, and everyone died that next year. So, I think Tatum, you know, Tatum really, really guards.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that
improved the time.
I think George kind of stopped over time. You know, George got hurt and wasn't quite the same after he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm talking about Apex versus Apex here.
I was one of the biggest fans of Apex Indiana Paul George. I thought he was when people would laugh at the East and then we'd play the Pacers in the first round or whatever, I'd be like, man, this is a heck of a first round date. Like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Tatum gets the edge. But you know, he has been lucky to be drafted by a franchise that really has believed in him and kept trying to retool and find creative ways. Like, they really haven't just run it back. He's played with like 9 different iterations of that team, all that have kind of suited him quite well.
Yeah. The fallacy of going all in too, which I like to bring up, which, you know, Boston, they took some gambles, right? Like, they took some consolidation swings. They've found ways to, you know, create new assets and find other ways to add talent there. And he's done a great job adding to his game. I think
Tatum is going to be a confusing guy we talk about at the end of his career. That's, I think, what I'll say.
I think that's fair. To me, it's Paul George, but I'm massive Paul George guy. So I'll give him a little bit of a nod. I think if he was drafted into that Boston situation, things would be a little bit scary for the league. But, you know, getting it back to the Cavs, I do want to talk about what we have with this remaining trip. 4 games left. Both of them are back-to-backs. Tomorrow against Utah, no Lauri Markkanen. John Collins and Jordan Clarkson are questionable. That's a game you got to get. Like, I think plain and simple. I think
if we lose that game, you really start looking at the 5 seed.
I think, you know, I agree with that. I think the Phoenix one is going to be tough. Ideally, you want to get, I think, 2-2 here on this trip. Get one of the LA games. Clippers aren't playing particularly well. Lakers are, you know, fighting for their playoff lives. That's going to be a tough one, but it's not like it's the greatest team on the planet either. You could go out and win if the Cavs were in top form and still the best road team in the league. I would say 3-1 is possible here. But given how tough the task is going to be in Phoenix, who is also fighting for their playoff lives, it's going to be a 3-4 with travel and whatnot. you got to get this Utah one, I think. Like, that is such an important game.
You could be looking at a winless road trip if you lose against Utah.
And we beat a fully healthy Utah Jazz with Lowry, with Colin, with everyone rolling, without Garland, without Mitchell, and without Mobley. You got to lock up. You have to have that intensity. I think if the Cavs come out with the same
They've lost nine in a row.
If they come out with the same first half energy, really? Nine in a row? I was not aware that it was that bad.
I just checked.
But I also follow Hiram, so I had no idea that anything was going poorly there. But yeah, so you got to win that one. You absolutely have to go and win that one. I think it starts on the defensive end. That's what the Cavs are going to have to lean or hang their hat on. And you get that one, try to steal it against Phoenix. You know, I don't know if Donovan's going to get rested for either of these back-to-backs or what the case is going to be. Obviously, that's something the coaching and medical staff will have to figure out. But if you can steal one and get to 3-1 here, I think you feel pretty good about your ability to facing Memphis, Indiana, and Charlotte at home to close out the season. You got to get two.
I just like to note the Blazers have the ball with 12 seconds left, down one. So we'll see if Anthony Simons or Scoot Henderson. Simons probably isn't playing at this point.
No, he's
see
out.
If Scoot Henderson's got a miracle for us, baby.
Yeah, and Simons wasn't even playing this game. I know because he hurt me in fantasy.
I presumed.
Yeah. Wow. That's hard. That's hard to believe. I almost want to stall, do this podcast just a little bit longer. Do you have any topics? Do you have any thoughts? Things you want to get off your chest, Carter?
Yeah, Delano Banton. What a fantasy performance to close the year for the way back boy, Delano Banton.
Oh boy. Well, our listeners will know the result of that game. That would be great if Portland could somehow to go out and steal that one. But the Cavs are going to have to take care of business themselves. Orlando plays, you know, Milwaukee twice down the stretch, and they got some tough matchups here. So I think if the Cavs can close out this year either 4-3 or 5-2, you're laughing, you're feeling good about it. But the time is now. As Donovan said, it's April. Like, you got to go out and win these games. So
it's April, Chris.
Absolutely. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. We really do appreciate you guys. Make sure you like and subscribe, click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot there via chasedownpod@gmail.com. however you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota #4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.